Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Welcome to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast, the show that explores the background of Tolkien's amazing world from the very beginning. So in the last week, I noticed some comments on the Patreon episodes, some of the recent episodes, asking questions about the age of Arrendis and how she's able to wait so long. And I just wanted to clear some of that up. She was born in the Second Age, 771, and they were betrothed, Arrendis and Eldarion, in 858. So that means she was already 87 years old when they were betrothed. And so there is a little bit of confusion about this. Eldarion clearly comes from the line of Elros, and they have very much extended life spans. But the people of Numenor in general had longer than, say, average human lifespans. Arrendis lives to the age 214, and she is not considered of the same stock as Eldarion is. So there's clearly some extra room here, being 87 years old and yet still not really middle-aged. So there you go. There's some clarity on that a little bit, I hope. But this week, we are digging even deeper into the story and into some of the things that happen after Eldarion leaves again. Remember, last week we left off and he was pleading with Arrendis for 2 years. He says, 2 years. 2 years is all I ask. And Arrendis answers, say rather, 2 years I will take, whether you will or no. Take 2 years then, but no more. A king's son of the blood of Arendil should also be a man of his word. And that's going to play into this episode this week, because the very next thing Eldarion does is he hastens away. He lifts up Ancalime, his daughter, and kisses her. And although she clings to him, he puts her down quickly, and he rides off. He heads to the great ship and sets sail. And he renames it. Remember this great ship that he makes? He renames it Hirulande. The Haven Finder is what that means. And this time, there's no blessing from Tar Meneldir. There's no Arrendis coming to the harbor with another green bow. Although the wife of the captain of the ship did bring a branch. She, Arrendis herself, did not. And we're told that Eldarion's face was dark and troubled as he stood at the prow of the Hirulande. And he did not look back until the Meneltarma was far off in the twilight. So Eldarion sails away. Arrendis is left with her daughter. And this episode is about what happens when a woman is left behind again, when her husband chooses the sea over her, and how she decides to raise her daughter. All that day, Arrendis sat in her chamber alone, grieving. But deeper in her heart, she felt a new pain of cold anger. and her love of Aldarion was wounded to the quick. She hated the sea, and now even trees that once she had loved, she desired to look upon no more, for they recalled to her the masts of great ships. Therefore, ere long, she left Armenelos and went to Amyrie. And we're told that this is a place where pretty much everywhere you go, you can hear the bleating of sheep on the wind. And she's quoted as saying, "This is sweeter to my ears than the mewing of gulls." And of course, she brings her daughter and Calame with her. And we learn some things about the way she's managing this household and the way she's raising her daughter. And it's very, very reactive to the situation she's just going through. Thither she took Encalame, and they were all the company that either had. For Arendis would have only servants in her household, and they were all women. And she sought ever to mold her daughter to her own mind, and to feed her upon her own bitterness against men. That's such an interesting line, to feed her upon her own bitterness against men. And notice, it's all men. This isn't just bitterness against the girl's father. This is all men. And because of this, Encalame seldom saw any men. We're told that Arendis kept no state, and her few arm servants and shepherds had a homestead at a distance. So although she had people working in that area, right, on that property, that were men, that were typically doing the kinds of jobs men would do, arm servants, which I would suppose means guards, and then shepherds, people working the flocks of sheep, she kept them at a distance. They didn't come up to the house, the main estate house. And other men did not come there either, except for maybe a rare messenger from the king, who often would ride away soon, because there seemed to be a chill on the house that put them in flight. And while they were there, they felt constrained to speak in a whisper. Not only was there this odd, unwelcoming feeling to any of the men who would come up, but there was this strange quietness that made it feel unnatural. And this stemmed all directly from Arendis, from the feelings, the pent-up anger of the lady of the house. We're told this little story about the birds. Remember the birds that the elves gave her as a gift? It says here, "One morning, soon after Arendis came to Amyrie, she awoke to the song of birds, and there on the sill of her window were the elven birds that long had dwelt in her gardens in Armenelos, but which she had left behind, forgotten. 'Sweet fools, fly away,' she said. 'This is no place for such joy as yours.' Then their song ceased, and they flew up over the trees. Thrice they wheeled above the roofs, and then they went away westward. That evening they settled upon the sill of the chamber of the house of her father, where she had lain with Aldarion, on their way from the feast in Andunai. And there Nuneth and Beregar found them on the morning of the next day." Remember, Nuneth and Beregar are Arendis's parents. "But when Nuneth held out her hands to them, they flew steeply up and fled away. And she watched them until they were specks in the sunlight, speeding to the sea, back to the land whence they came. 'He has gone again then and left her,' said Nuneth." "Then why has she not sent news?" said Beregar. "Or why has she not come home?" "She has sent news enough," said Nuneth, "for she has dismissed the elven birds. And that was ill done. It bodes no good. Why, my daughter? Surely you knew what you must face. But let her alone, Beregar, wherever she may be. This is her home no longer, and she will not be healed here. He will come back, and then may the Valar send her wisdom, or guile, at the least." Nuneth is such an interesting character because she can always tell more about what's going on by reading the events around her, by reading the situation. She knew those birds came there for a reason. She understood what was going on and where they headed off to. And she understood that that only would have happened because Arrendis dismissed them. Remember, the elves talked about how they spoke to the birds, and seemingly the birds could understand what they were being told. Well, they clearly still can. And now they fly back to their home across the sea. 2 years goes by. Remember, Aldarion said 2 years. And the king, expecting that he returns home soon, because it's been 2 years, wishes Arrendis to order the house in Armenelos to be arrayed and made ready. But she doesn't have any preparation for his return. And this comes to a head in her response to the king. She responds, "I will come if you command me, Atar Aranya." Remember, that's a familial phrase that they use in kindness and love. So she still has respect for his father, just not him. But have a duty now to hasten? Question mark. Will it not be time enough when his sail is seen in the east? And to herself, she said, "Will the king have me wait upon the quays like a sailor's lass? Would that I were, but I am no longer. I have played that part to the full." She responds with respect. She's like, "If you command me to do it, I will do it. But I'm not planning on just waiting around for him like I have in the past. That's not going to happen." And as she probably predicted, the year passes and no sail is seen. So she doesn't return to set up the house because there's no sign of his return. And it becomes autumn. And Arrendis is still stewing in these emotions. We learn that she grows hard and silent. She orders the house in Armenelos to be shut. And she stops even traveling from her own home, outside of maybe just a few hours' journey here or there when she needed to. And during this time, she clings even more strongly to her daughter. It says here, "Such love as she had was all given to her daughter, and she clung to her and would not have Incalime leave her side, not even to visit Nuneth and her kin in the Westlands." No, you can't go visit your family or your grandmother or your grandfather. You have to stay here. All Incalime's teaching was from her mother, and she learned well to write and to read and to speak the elven tongue with Arrendis after the manner in which high men of Numenor used it. And this is an interesting point. We come to learn that the elven tongue is still spoken during this time, during the 800s of the Second Age in Numenor. And we also, it says here, we also learn, "For in the Westlands, it was a daily speech in such houses as Beregar's, and Arrendis seldom used the Numenorian tongue, which Aldarion loved the better." Another division, this idea that Arrendis and her household were more sided with the elves and the elven speech, whereas Aldarion preferred the Numenorian tongue, the tongue of men. And that's a distinct difference, the sea or the land, the elven speech or the Numenorian. And it's explained here as well what Incalime was doing. She was learning. She was spending a lot of time learning, looking through old scrolls and books. And she learned about people at great distances and what the Numenorians knew, not only of the people of their own island, but other places. And she could have learned more from the other women who worked on the property, but they were very careful because they feared their mistress. They feared what Arrendis would think if they taught the girl something that she didn't want her to know. And then we're explained the reason for why there's this strange quietness on this property. We're told that this property itself was hushed and without music, as if one had died not long since, which is kind of what Arrendis is doing here. It's almost as if she's in mourning. And there's a detail here that's revealed. Turns out that in Numenor, during those days, it was the men who played instruments and the women who were known for their singing. And without men on the property, instruments weren't being played. And Calime wasn't hearing music. The only thing that she could actually hear that was musical at all was the singing of the women at work outdoors. But no instruments at all. And over those years, she would enjoy playing out in the fields. She would get outside of the house as often as she could to run on the wide downs, free. And sometimes she'd go with the shepherdesses, tending the sheep under the sky. And she loved to play outdoors. And then a strange occurrence happened. She met for the first time a young boy, someone who was just a little bit older than her when she was out on the fields. And we'll get to those details after we thank our patrons. Don't go anywhere.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
All right, welcome to the middle of the show. Thank you to all of our patrons and everybody who has supported this project, keeps it going. I couldn't do it without you. If you are interested in joining and being a part of this and getting ad-free episodes or stickers or t-shirts or just pitching in to say thank you for helping me get through the workday or your workout or commute or any of that stuff, head over to patreon.com/LOTRLorecast and go check out all the different stuff you can get for helping support the show. I'd really appreciate it. All right. We don't have any new patrons this week to shout out, but we do have our VIP patrons who get shout outs every week. And this includes AK Music Lover, Anakin Skywalker, Apollo, Aragorn III, Alte Morton, Austin C, Azzle Razzle, Barney D, Bo, Black Squirrel, Brandy D, Cutter Metalworks, Daniel Nightweaver, David S, David M, Divine Madman, Drupal, Fulcrum, Gimli A Break, Gemma D, Jesse P, J-Eggs, Jezzer, Kate L, Katie S, Capenna, Lore FC, Lori B, Mason Weathertop, Michael M, Nick K, Nostrils of Sauron, Richard J, Rosie Rose, Sam B, Seju, TJT, and Tour Son of Hoor. You have to say the ooh in those names. Thank you so much for your support and for being here. I'm so glad that you are. And other ways that you can help support the show. Oh, and I didn't even mention the bonus episodes. There's bonus episodes in every episode, so most of you know that. But there are other ways to help support and make sure that this thing keeps going. One of those is to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Whether you listen there or not, all you need is an account. And it's extremely helpful because those reviews kind of end up everywhere, not just on Apple. If you do that, leave a 5-star review. I'll read it out on a future episode of the show. You can rate the show on Spotify. You can rate it on whatever other podcast you're listening to this on. You can also tell your friends. That's super helpful. So thank you to everyone who helps make this show a reality. And let's get back to the story, because we have to learn more about what's going on with Arrendis' daughter and the boy who shows up on the property. Here we go.
Thank you.
One day in the summer of that year, a young boy, but older than herself, came to the house on an errand from one of the distant farms, and Akalame came upon him munching bread and drinking milk in the farm courtyard at the rear of the house. He looked at her without deference and went on drinking. Then he sat down, his mug. "Stare if you must, Great Eyes," he said. "You're a pretty girl, but too thin. Will you eat?" He took a loaf out of his bag. What a nice way to introduce yourself to somebody new. "Be off, Ebal," which was his name. His name was Ebal, cried an old woman coming from the dairy door. "And use your long legs or you'll forget the message I gave you for your mother before you get home." "No need for a watchdog where you are, Mother Zamin," cried the boy. And with a bark and a shout, he leapt over the gate and went off on a run down the hill. And I love this. We get this description of this Zamin, who was this old country woman. She was free-tongued and not easily daunted, even by the white lady. She's one of those people who's going to speak her mind no matter what. "What noisy thing was that?" said Enkalame. "A boy," said Zamin, "if you know what that is. But how should you? They're breakers and eaters mostly." I love the bitter old lady perspective of a boy here, or men in general. "That one is ever eating, but not to no purpose. A fine lad his father will find when he comes back. But if that is not soon, he'll scarce know him. I might say that of others." Notice the parallels there. "Has the boy then a father too?" asked Enkalame. "Oh, to be sure," said Zamin. "Ulbar, one of the shepherds of the great lord away south, the sheep lord we call him, a kinsman of the king." "Then why is that boy's father not at home?" "Why, Herenke?" said Zamin. "Because he heard of those venturers and took up with them and went away with your father, the Lord Aldarion. But the Valar know whither or why." And this meeting, this chance meeting with a boy out in the fields, sparked some thoughts in Enkalame's mind. She started to have questions. She started to realize that there were things that she did not know very much about. And so she wanted to know more. So in the evening, she returns home to her mother and she asks, "Is my father also called the Lord Aldarion?" Which is an interesting question and reveals so much about what she doesn't know about her father. "He was," said Arendis. Notice the "was" past tense there. "But why do you ask?" Her voice was quiet and cool, but she wondered and was troubled, for no word concerning Aldarion had passed between them before. She hasn't even spoken to her about who her father is. And Calame did not answer the question. "When will he come back?" she said. "Do not ask me," said Arendis. "I do not know. Never, perhaps, but do not trouble yourself, for you have a mother, and she will not run away while you love her." This, to me, borders on toxic. And I understand Arendis. I understand her emotions here. I understand the bitterness or even the grief that she might be feeling. I totally get it. This sounds like the kind of thing that sometimes parents say to their children during a divorce that makes the child feel worse about the other parent. And sometimes that stuff is true, but it's damaging to the child nonetheless. Partly because it puts the other parent in a dark light. And it makes the child feel like they need to pick sides, like they need to turn against that parent or side with the one who's angry with the other one. But it also affects the identity of the individual, of the child, because children see themselves as being a combination of their parents. They see in themselves the qualities of their parents. They try to live, especially first children and at young ages, to be a reflection of the expectations of their parents. And when they learn that one of their parents sees the other parent as being bad, or maybe even evil, or at least just disappointing, they start to internalize that. they start to see that as part of who they are, and they wonder if maybe they don't have control over that. Maybe they come from a bad source. It deeply affects children to see this kind of response in their parents, and yet it happens all the time. And this is the first time that we see something like this in one of Tolkien's stories. In fact, this is one of the first times that we see so much emphasis on women and the perspectives of women and the struggles of women, the struggle of Arrendis to have to deal with this, the fact basically that Eldarion keeps leaving, that he has another love. And this story rings real. There's something very real about this, even though in this moment, you can see that Arrendis is a little bit misled. She's trying to do what she believes to be is right for her daughter, but it's coming from a place of bitterness and anger. It's not coming from a place of love. And so it confines her daughter in a way where her daughter is not learning about the world out there and is not getting a representation of exactly who her father is at all, other than when he happens to come up in these kinds of conversations. She's not getting a well-rounded view of him. She's just seeing him through the bitter eyes of her mother. So as dark and, I don't know, having been somebody who's been through a divorce, this has a certain feeling to it that really, really gets to me on the inside. I still have to praise Tolkien on his ability to write and portray real people, the way people actually act. And to be clear here, Eldarion is not blameless either. If she's bitter that he left, then he's responsible for leaving, right? Like, this is a two-edged sword. Both of them have not been perfect individuals. So let's be clear about that. The story goes on, and we learn that Ancalame did not speak of her father again. The days passed, bringing in another year, and then another. In that spring, Ancalame was 9 years old. Lambs were born and grew. Shearing came and passed. A hot summer burned the grass. Autumn turned to rain. And then, one day, out of the east, upon a cloudy wind, Hirulande came back over the gray seas, bearing Eldarion to Romena. And word was sent to Emirie. But Arrendis did not speak of it. This is years. This is twice as long, at least, from what Eldarion had told her. 2 years, he said. Just give me 2 years, and I'll be back. Those 2 years became five. 5 years gone. His daughter, now 9, was 4 when he left. Do you have memories of being 4 years old? Most of us have a hard time remembering that age. You have to wonder if she can remember the face of her father. And because he was gone for so long, things had changed in those years. There were none to greet Eldarion upon the quays. He rode through the rain to Armenelos, and he found his house shut. Arrendis did not return to prepare the house when the sails showed up in the distance, is basically what's going on here. He was dismayed, but he would ask news of no man. First, he would seek the king, for he thought he had much to say to him. And we'll find out next time what news Eldarion brings, and maybe more about why he was gone for longer than he expected.
Thanks for listening to the Lord of the Rings Lorecast. If you'd like to learn more about other fantasy worlds, check out my other podcasts, The Elder Scrolls Lorecast, The Witcher Lorecast, and more at robotsradio.net. If you'd like to reach out, I'd love to hear from you. Send me a note on Twitter at robots_radio, or join our amazing community on the Robots Radio Discord. There are links in the show notes, or just search Robots Radio Discord, or find the link on robotsradio.net. I'll see you next time.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.